Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live at the Build Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Start of year 8 of Boomer and Geo, 7-year anniversary, which is crazy to think about.
You know what's crazy, really?
Yeah.
You got 2 daughters in that time.
That's right.
I'm going to have a 5-year-old granddaughter.
Yeah.
Because my granddaughter was born in the summer of 2020, right in the middle of COVID.
I remember.
And we were all spread out all over the place.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about that on New Year's Day. I was like, man, Jesus.
Yeah, man. What? Yeah, man, yes. Jesus is right. Yeah.
And by the way, I got the Sydney 7 twins. I got the names.
No.
Yep.
You got the names?
Yeah.
But they're not. When are they? They're due in the summer?
Yeah, due in May, yeah.
Oh, in May, okay.
Yeah.
And you got the names?
Yeah.
She gave you the names?
No, I think I got the names. Just from, like, listening.
Oh, is it Boomer and Geo?
No, it's not Boomer and Geo. It's Ben and Jerry.
Yeah, you had me there for a second. You had me there for a second. That would be something. Where I was just about... Oh, yeah. So... And we started the January 2018, and then Sabrina was born February 2018. So, like, she is basically, I mean, that is a human as long as the show has been together.
Yes, exactly.
It gives you actually a representation of how old the show is. It's been growing, you know, just like her.
Yes.
And the show is in first grade right now. And that's sort of our humor to begin with.
Yes.
All right, so we talked a little bit about Ron Rivera getting interviewed. I don't think he's going to be the head coach. I think people were absolutely freaking out about that for no reason.
By the way, he does meet the,
Rooney Rule.
The Rooney Rule, yes.
Yeah. So, you know, people go, are they going to hire a head coach before a general manager? I don't think so. I don't think that's going to happen. They have been interviewing general managers. We've seen that before. So I just, that hire, as we know, is the most important one, because you would want to think that GM is going to be able to hire his own head coach. Now, what we think with the Jets is that head coach has got to be the dude in the building and the alpha male. So is the GM that is going to get hired for the Jets going to want to bring in that type A personality head coach that we think the Jets desperately need and be able to hand him the keys, thinking, I'm not going to be the guy in the building. He's going to be the guy in the building, but our trust will make sure that will be a bond for us.
Well, that's a good question, because I don't know what Mike Tannenbaum is advising. I don't know if he's advising the Jets, or is he just setting up the meetings? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because I don't necessarily know that they're in on the meetings. I think it's probably Woody, Christopher, Jaime. And, you know, I'm not sure who else Woody would want in there. But, you know, I think whoever the GM is going to be should have a track record. I think he's got to be somebody that has had success other places, so at least fans can see on paper what this person has done and feel comfortable with the success of a previous spot,
yeah.
Whether it be Dimitroff, who came out of Atlanta, who came from New England. Like, somebody like that has a track record of success and knowing players, and somebody who has relationships with coaches like John Gruden, Mike Vrabel, and, of course, Brian Flores. Somebody that can work with a personality of that ilk. Because if you're hiring John Gruden, John Gruden does not have the leverage to bring in a Mike Mayock with him.
Not anymore. Not right
not
now.
Anymore,
no.
He does.
Yeah.
But if he wants to get back in, he's got to be able to work with the guy who's hiring him. And he's got to be wanting to coach ball first and foremost and let the GM do his job and get the players.
Yeah.
Now, they can discuss players, which they should be doing. Like, I'm sure John, Joe Shane and Brian Daboll do all the time. Like, this is the kind of player you want. This is what we're looking for. You know, these are what we need. This is the kind of characteristics we need. And I think that's, you know, a good working relationship between GM and coaches invaluable to the success of the team.
So the candidates so far, we've heard about John Robinson, former Titans GM, that would be linked to Vrabel, mm-hmm. Thomas Dimitroff. I know Phil Savage is there. He's the guy. He's the acting GM now. I mean, is there?
I would say the three guys you just mentioned all have track records. Yeah. All have had success. All have worked with different types of coaches. The Robinson-Vrabel thing is very interesting to me. And again, I wonder what New England's going to do. Because I, you know, if they're going to go another year with Gerard Mayo, fine. But that means that Mike Vrabel is going somewhere else. He is going to be on the top of everybody's list. And everybody that I talked to, everybody who knew him as a player, they knew him as a, you know, really buttoned up player, smart player, multidimensional player. But the guys that, you know, like I talked to Frank Reich about coaching against Mike Vrabel. And Frank said, let me tell you something, that team was always prepared, that team was always physical, that team always came to play. He might have been hamstring with his quarterback. He never really truly, you know, he had Ryan Tannehill, yeah. who played well for him. Not great, but well.
But he also had MVP Derrick Henry.
Yes.
You know.
But that made them physical.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, and they also.
Plus, at the end of the day, he came from Bill Belichick. He came from Coach Cowher because he was drafted by the Steelers. Mm-hmm. So he's been around two Hall of Fame coaches who knew how to win outside in cold weather and they knew how to run a team.
Yeah, but does he want that job? Because he's going to be sought after if the Patriots stick with Mayo and he's looking for another job. Does he want the Jet job? Does he want to deal with everything that comes with it and all the issues that people have been writing about with Woody Johnson? Is that going to work with him? In his personality?
You know, I feel like there are three guys in particular that if you have, like, the Jet uniform on and the Jet hat and a headset, and I'm just figuring out what a guy looks like on the sideline, just for that for a second.
Yeah.
It's Gruden, it's Flores, it's Vrabel. Like, yeah. Can you watch Flores during these Vikings games?
Yeah. He's intense. He's great. I mean, I don't want to lose him, but I'm sure he's going to get hired.
You see how his players react to him?
Oh, they love him. I mean, and he's probably learned something there with Tua, whatever it was.
Yeah,
he's got that black vest that he wears every week.
Yeah, but all this crap with Tua, I don't care about.
Yeah.
What I see here is I see players coming up and hugging him.
Yeah, of course. I mean, and they've had, you know, they've overachieved with the talent that they've had. I mean, he's been incredible.
And one other thing about the whole Shedeur Sanders thing. So, who's his coach? Well, Deion's his dad, but yeah. Who's the offensive coordinator?
Oh, Pat Shurmur.
Right. Would Pat Shurmur be honest with the Giants if the Giants had a chance to draft Shedeur Sanders? Would he be honest with him to tell him whether or not he can be the guy in New York?
Yeah, I think so. I think he would, because I think he, even though things went sour here, I think that everybody still leaves the building as a head coach or a GM, except for Tom Coughlin. And maybe they've mended fences, but it's still like, you don't hate John Mara, you know, when you leave the building.
So if John Mara and Pat Shurmur ever got into a room together and had a private conversation, would Pat Shurmur be honest to John Mara, or do they not like each other?
I would think that they would be okay. I mean, it's, you know, it's like bygones be bygones. The NFL and the football business is just, you know, it's a hatchet, I mean, every time you turn around. So I would think that he'd be honest with
it. Pat Shurmur has been a lifer in football.
Yeah. He's been fired and 10 million times.
Right. And he's been around great players. He's been around not so great players, bad ownership, whatever. You would think that he would know whether or not Shedeur Sanders has all of the characteristics that are required to win in today's game.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
So why does anybody ever have to ask anybody? Why not just ask him?
You could. I don't know what you're getting at.
I'm just trying to say, if it were the Giants and they did have an opportunity to draft Shedeur Sanders, not with the number one overall pick, but let's say with the fourth or fifth, you know, who knows? Maybe the Raiders will be so freaking desperate that they'll trade anything to get up to number one to be able to get him. which would land in the lap of the New England Patriots right now.
I mean, what the hell are the Giants going to do, though, if they don't draft a quarterback this year? I mean,
and stopgap.
Yeah, I know. But then, I mean, this coaching staff is going to survive, and this regime is going to survive with that situation? No. I mean, they'd have so much pressure to put that kid in and see what they could do with him. It would be
a mess. That's why.
I mean, are they staying, by the way, or what? What is going on with that? Because I can't figure out for the life of me what they're going to do. You hear a lot now, the Shane staying, Dable going, which I think is silly, because then what, you're going to have Joe Shane hire the next head coach, and then when he gets, you know, then it's like, okay, he has a draft that doesn't work out again, then you fire him, and you got the head coach there, and you got to hire a general manager, and around you go chasing your own tail. You can't do that. They both stay or they both go.
And the one thing is that a rookie quarterback, there's no Jaden Daniels in this draft. I don't see any one of these quarterbacks that can be Bo Nix in this draft right now. That, in other words, becoming the head, starting quarterback of the New York Giants next year and leading their teams the way that Jaden Daniels and Bo Nix have led their teams.
It's amazing how many of these guys have played, like all the games that they have played.
And now Michael Penix.
Yeah, I know. On top of it. I mean, and even though the Bears have been terrible, I think people still believe that Caleb Williams is going to be a good player. But, you know, Drake May is showing a lot of talent. Obviously, Jaden Daniels has been the star of the class so far. Bo Nix has been great with Sean Payton. I mean, it just sucks that the Giants missed out. You know, they had an opportunity to draft Bo Nix and Michael Penix.
And what happens if my J.J. McCarthy turns out to be something? I know you don't believe it, but let's say they lose Sam Darnold and he becomes something next year. The Giants passed on him, too.
I do, and part of my reason in not believing was I thought that they were going to throw him out there when he wasn't ready. And I did say at the time, I'm not just saying this now, that the year off for him could be the best thing that ever happened.
Well, the best call you've ever made in the 8 years that I've worked with you was the Sam Darnold call.
Well, thank you.
You said he was going to have a good year. You didn't say he was going to have a great year. You said he was going to have a good year with Kevin O'Connell.
Well, I thought it was going to be good. And I also said that this narrative you were going to hear was going to be, hey, that year he spent in San Francisco was great for him. And that's what everybody's been saying. So he goes out of that system.
And maybe, Carson Wentz spending a year in Kansas City is going to get, you know, his last year in Indianapolis was not bad. It was like 28 touchdowns and 7 interceptions.
Yeah.
And all they had to do was win one of their last two games, and they didn't. He came down with COVID those last 2 weeks.
Yeah. The vid.
Yep. And he ended up losing to the Raiders and the Jaguars, I think. And they missed the playoffs by one game.
Yeah. Not good.
Just like they're going to miss the playoffs this week by losing to the Giants last week. Or this year.
What fan base is going to be lucky enough to have the Carson Wentz resurrection storyline next year? How fortunate.
It's going to be one. I'm telling you, again, you could have said the same thing this time last year about Sam Darnold.
Yeah, that's true.
You could have said the same thing probably about Baker Mayfield when he went to Tampa Bay 2 years ago. And by the way, so he signed a 3-year, $100 million contract. So that's about $33 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
Could you see Minnesota doing that with Sam Darnold? But Sam Darnold's going to want more than that.
Yeah, I just don't. And there's, not that I have a Vikings insider by any stretch of the imagination, but there's a Vikings fan that I talked to who's out there in Minnesota, and he swears, absolutely swears, that no matter what happens, that they're going to J.J. McCarthy.
I mean, look at these throws he's making.
I know, and this drives me crazy. I mean, I would not do... I am of the belief, and I'm not the one dealing with the salary cap. I get it.
He's finally figured out how to read defenses.
I just don't know how you let a guy like that go at that age. It's what, especially when you've been dying of thirst for a quarterback like that for your entire existence. And here he is at 28 years old doing this in the MVP conversation. You're going to let him go based on the salary cap? Eesh. I don't know, man.
I'll tell you what, they're paying him $10 million this year, and every other guy in the conversation for MVP, except for Saquon Barkley, is a quarterback that is making north of $50 million.
Yeah. Yeah. he's got some work to do, though, Sam, before we get to the offseason. He's still got some work to do. And if they win on Sunday night, that's when I really start getting nervous. That's when I really start getting nervous. Now we're talking about two games, two wins to get to the big one, which I have not seen in my lifetime. I was not alive to watch them lose four Super Bowls. So.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. CeeLo is here. CeeLo, what'd you do other than work over the last week and a half?
Very little, my friend.
Did you have any time for yourself?
Myself?
Yeah, any time? Do you do any me stuff?
No. No man lunches. No guy time.
Really?
My guy time was here with Jerry and Pat and Willie and the guys, Fleeks,
man,
Rami, Big Zoo. There's a lot of guy time here, man time, you know?
Yeah.
New Year's Eve, I was asleep before 10 o'clock.
I think about you sometimes, CeeLo. I do. Because I just don't feel like you're getting enough man time. And you want man time. You want to do man stuff. You want man time.
Yes.
And I don't feel like you do enough of that.
Everyone makes New Year's resolutions. So they asked us on SNY the other night what we're going to do. For 2025, and I did say that I'm going to commit to trying to do a little bit more, not even man stuff, just like solo stuff, a little more activeness, maybe join a hockey team, Boomer. I'm missing the ice. I had the boys on the ice yesterday, actually.
Nice.
Getting them ready they're going to be doing a little hockey stuff starting this weekend.
Was Sal's New Year's resolution to get adopted by Mike Francesa? Or?
It might have been. Sounded that way.
Yeah.
All right. You know, the one thing that has not happened to me so far this winter.
You haven't gotten not even one little bit of sickness?
Nope.
No sniffles, nothing?
Doing well.
All right, good.
I'm sure tomorrow I'm going to walk in with like a 105 fever.
Right, exactly. And a tail.
Right.
What happened to me?
Oh, my God.
All right, CeeLo, let's hear it, man.
Let's do it. Brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. Well, the Knicks continue to roll. 9 straight wins now. Taking care of business back at home last night.
George putting good pressure on Hart. Hart to the basket and the flush. An emphatic move from Josh Hart.
Mike Breen, MSG, part of Hart's second straight triple-double. First Knicks to do that since Michael Ray Richardson back in 1981. He had 15 points, 14 rebounds, 12 assists as the Knicks cruise past the Jazz at the Garden, 119-103. And Hart stepping up on a night where both Jalen Brunson and Deuce McBride sat out with injuries.
I mean, there's no panic. We know we have enough talent, to win no matter who's playing. Hopefully those guys can get a little bit of toughness and get out here next time, but... We know we had enough. We just had to go out there and execute.
That was hard at MSG having some fun with Bill Pito after the game. So it is 9 in a row and an extended run of good play now since that 4-5 start to the season. How have they done it?
Not making it complicated. Just being simple. Not listening to some of y'all crying and complaining early on in the season. You know, we knew it would take some time to get it right. And, you know, we feel like we're growing.
And, yeah, Karl Anthony Towns.
Nobody was crying. Everybody said the same thing. It's going to take them a while to get used to playing together.
It really didn't take them that long,
actually. It reminds me of that 9-game winning streak they had last year before everybody got hurt.
Yeah.
Julius Randle got hurt.
After OG got here?
Yeah. And they went on that 9-game winning streak. They looked like they were unstoppable. Everybody was playing well together, and then Julius got hurt.
Karl Anthony Towns has been right in the middle of it. And again last night, 31 points, 21 rebounds. Utah head coach Will Hardy drained just coaching against him.
Playing against Towns is way more of a mental battle because the threes are loud. But the reality is he took 20 shots tonight and 6 of them were threes. It's not like he bombed away and shot 14 of them.
He feels it's a bit of a mind game defending him. The ability to shoot the three is sort of like the eye candy, but hey, basically pick your poison.
There's a night where he could make 7 and you go home and you go, man, he killed us. But I've been a part of way more nights like this playing against Towns where the threat of the three hurts you more than the three itself.
Yet he was still 3 of 6 from distance.
And especially when the other players on the team are shooting well from three.
Yes. Yes. And he's a big man.
It
he's averaging.
You know what?
Spreads it out.
A lot of space.
Spacing.
Give him a ball in space.
Yeah, I'm holding space for their spacing.
He is averaging 5 attempts per game, threes that is. He's currently shooting a career-high 44% from deep, so he has been excellent. Knicks look to make it 10 in a row with a big challenge tomorrow night on the road against Isaiah Hartenstein, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and the 27-5 Western Conference
SGA,
leading
man, best
Oklahoma
player
City
in the league.
Thunder. Yeah, and MVP talks for
I'm
him.
I'm telling you, man.
Meantime, the Nets lost to the Raptors in Toronto 130-113 as former Nick Emmanuel quickly returned. He had 21 and 15 assists for Toronto. Nets turn around and visit the Bucks tonight in Milwaukee. We've got coverage on the Fan at 7:50. College football playoff quarterfinal action yesterday. Texas getting by Arizona State. They took double overtime to do it. Win the Peach Bowl 39-31 over the Sun Devils. Ohio State then went out and beat up top seed Oregon in the Rose Bowl 41-21. Freshman Jeremiah Smith, 7 catches, 187 yards. Couple of scores for the Buckeyes, including a 45-yard TD 1 minute into the game. So it'll be Ohio State and Texas in the Cotton Bowl. That's 1 week from tomorrow night. You've got Penn State awaiting their next opponent as the Sugar Bowl between Georgia and Notre Dame will be made up today at 4 o'clock after it was postponed from last night, of course, due to the unfortunate events that took place on Bourbon Street in the wee hours of New Year's Day. Continued questions about the status of Brian Daboll and Joe Shane with the Giants. Here was Daboll yesterday, asked about his offense this season with him serving as the play caller instead of offensive coordinator Mike Kafka. How's that relationship been?
Mike's been a great teammate, good coach, good friend. Does a good job for us.
Is that you want him back next year?
Yeah, he does a good job for us. So we're focused on the Eagles here, guys.
Kind of passed that one off a little bit. A year clear from the Wink Martindale divorce, of course. How about Wink's Michigan defense getting after Jalen Milroe in Alabama in the ReliaQuest Bowl?
Yeah, and by the way, Jalen Milroe should stay in school. Just stay in school, just like Quinn Ewers should just stay in school another year, get a little bit more play time, big-time college football, and then come out next year.
The draft quarterbacks, the prospects in these bowl games have been... Cam Ward had a nice half, and then it was,
I was telling Eddie, the kid that really impressed me was the kid at Clemson when they were playing against Texas, Klubnik. Cade Klubnik out of Texas. I think he's about 6'2", about 190 pounds. But he's going to go back for his senior season to Clemson. I'm sure Dabo Swinney and the guys came up with some cash to keep him. And that's a smart move by him. And because I think next year, I believe just... by watching him a couple times this year, that I think that he has a chance to be, you know, a first-round pick next year.
Back to Daboll for a sec. One last one. Asked to assess the switch from Kafka to himself calling the offense.
The moves you made in this offseason when you take over play calling and Mike roll shit today. How do you feel like that's worked out?
Yeah, we've won 3 games, so not good enough.
A little accountability there, at least publicly. Good enough against the Colts this past weekend, though, where they obviously ran up the score a little bit offensively. First home win of the season, knocked them from the perch of that first overall pick in the draft. And Malik Nabers says there's no tanking here.
We're going to try our best every game that we go out there. We expect to win every game. We're going to go out there expecting to win every game. So, you know, we're going to carry that win over, try to get another one.
Try to go get another one against the Eagles down in Philadelphia, who will be minus Jalen Hurts.
What Saquon happened to them? I feel like there's going to be like a 30 for 30 on this Colts team that like blew this game because they had some gambling debts or something like that. I've never seen a team tackle worse than that team in that game.
DeForest Buckner said we bleeped the bed along those lines. McAfee said they've had guys that have been showing up late for meetings.
Yeah, I mean, it's bad. It's bad.
Honestly.
Anthony Richardson's at the top of that list when it comes to criticism.
Didn't even play in this one,
I know, but I'm just saying overall.
Yes, I hear you. Elsewhere around the league, you will have Jimmy Garoppolo starting for the Rams as they rest Matt Stafford this weekend.
Yep. Stopgap spot.
Carson Wentz for the Chiefs as Patrick Mahomes gets that ankle healthy. So resting players, always a hot topic of discussion this time of year, but don't tell Jim Harbaugh. He will have his Chargers trying to go from the 6th seed in the AFC to the 5 this weekend.
The thing that doesn't resonate right now is, play the backups, like that would, what are we going to do? Dress 25 guys, for the game.
So that was from the Let's Go podcast and there, you don't see it, but they were on the Zoom and Bill Belichick's just like a bobblehead, nodding along, smiling, agreeing with everything that Jim had to say. And he would, couldn't wait to chime in actually.
That's what some people I think have a hard time with is, well, don't play your starters. Yeah, I mean, you can only have 7 inactive guys. Who are they? And it's tough to go to your team and say, well, we're not going to play you guys over here, but the rest of you get out there. We don't really care about you. You know, if you get hurt, that doesn't matter.
That's a fair point. Yeah, fair
point. Yeah, but I mean, all right. So there's a couple of examples. So the Detroit Lions, of course, the game against the 49ers didn't impact – their seeding at all, because whoever wins in Week 18 Sunday night, Vikings Lions, gets the one seed. So in my opinion, if I were the coach of that team, I would not have played Jahmyr Gibbs and I would not have played Jared Goff,
mm-hmm.
because you just lost David Montgomery and you got nobody behind Jahmyr Gibbs.
You got a rookie.
And then with Jared Goff, you take him off that team. I looked up their backup when I saw
Hendon Hooker.
Yeah, Hooker.
That's what I meant by the rookie. Yeah.
Right. So if you end up going into the playoffs as a 14-3 team or 15-2 team with 7-string running back and Hendon Hooker, you look like the biggest doofus in the world.
Yeah.
Don't you? I mean, there's a couple of spots you gotta consider.
You know, I love you. I do. I really do.
But
you're not an NFL head coach, so just, you know, button it up over there.
Okay, well.
Every team is different, I understand.
So
variables.
We should never criticize an NFL? You're not one either.
No, I didn't say that. We've had this conversation.
But it's true, right?
We've had this conversation a million times about different things.
Yeah.
And I disagree with you. Now, it's different in
I was Tennessee. Hoping the hell that one of those guys was going to get hurt. I wanted them hurt so bad.
You can't root for that. That's
oh, I was
thing.
Rooting for it.
That I will not.
Oh, I was rooting I, for I, it. I, just I, an MCL, something like that.
Ah, come on.
Something of a meniscus.
You can't do that.
Oh,
can't
I was. Oh, I definitely was. Just I thought certain, if you come on here and call Dan Campbell an idiot and then just right up to the one
Dan
seat.
Dan Campbell an idiot. That guy has been one of the best personalities in the coaching ranks that we've had in so long.
Okay, does that person, I mean, he's still and screwed up the NFC Championship game because he went for 54 downs he should have never gone for.
Which yeah, he should have, well, he can't catch the ball. Somebody else has to make the catch, and somebody else has to
free
make
of criticism,
throw.
Dan Campbell. Can't
he's
criticize
not free
that
of criticism. He was
oh,
criticized.
Everybody kisses his ass.
You know, you're just saying this because you're a Vikings fan.
They just kiss his ass.
I mean, can you try to be unbiased when you're talking about their success? No, you can't.
I can't. No, right, not okay, right now because right. I got to balance this out. I mean, there's this tongue bath that the entire world's given that. Given the Detroit
Kevin
Lions.
Kevin O'Connell gets the biggest tongue bath of anybody. Look what he's doing with Sam Darnold.
Not more than that's the Lions. No. And I don't do that.
Brian Flores.
You're telling me that the... Stop it.
Those guys stop get it. Tongue baths.
No, they're not.
Much.
No, they're not.
Yes,
they are. The Lions. Oh, Ben Johnson? You kidding me?
Brian Flores, you kidding me?
No, you know
Kevin
it.
Kevin O'Connell.
You know
I
that
mean,
the Lions people.
They're all getting tongue bath because they're all winning.
Freaking Lions. Yeah, everybody loves them. Dan Campbell is the greatest. Oh, he has his coffee and biting
right,
the kneecaps. You lose Ben Johnson on that team. They're a 5-win team.
All right, let's go with
see
Al.
What happens
let's
next
go
year.
Go with Al because I think Al can have an unbiased opinion.
What?
In terms of tongue bathing of coaches. God. Between the Vikings and the Lions, would you say that it's about even?
It's close.
Yeah,
I don't hear any of the
what's his name again? Al
Flores.
There you go.
Yeah. I really don't hear any of that tongue bathing. But
all right, who's the Lions offensive coordinator?
That guy. That I forget his name. Ben Johnson.
Okay, who's the Vikings offensive coordinator?
No idea.
Okay, case closed.
Who is the Vikings offensive coordinator?
Wes Phillips.
All right.
That's Wade Phillips' son.
Thank you.
So, but here's the thing. Ben Johnson was hot last year as a head coaching prospect, so you know his name. And now this is another year of success with Jared Goff. And that's why he is getting the tongue bathing that he's getting. Now, you know who Brian Flores is.
Yes, but I don't hear a lot about him.
Oh. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, if it wasn't for that lawsuit with the NFL, I would not hear anything about
Boomer,
that guy.
Okay. You're using Al as your measuring stick here?
Take the L, as BT would say. Take the L. You went to Al to have him affirm your point. He did not. Take it, Al!
I just wanted to get an unbiased opinion, that's all.
Okay.
But
yeah.
He did say... No.
Of the two head coaches, they're pretty even.
Two head coaches are pretty even. Pretty
just
even.
Take the L on this.
There you go.
Hold that L. Hold that space L. for the L.
Yeah. Okay.
By the way, you jogged my memory when you were rooting for an injury in that game.
Of course, I'm being facetious, for God's sakes, for people going nuts.
Oh, now you're being facetious.
I was not rooting for an injury. I
Who's
just wanted
going
to
nuts?
Call Dan Campbell an idiot.
Everyone's going nuts. So we're all good. There was an injury in that game.
Yeah.
Brock Purdy hurt his elbow again.
He's out.
Well, we know. He's a quitter.
Yep, right around the playoffs.
You bring that up. Yep. Because he went, same deal. He said his elbow was on fire, went to the sideline, tried to throw a couple passes, couldn't do it. So I think he had you and Al in mind after the game.
I tried throwing a couple on the sideline, and I couldn't at that point. So, yeah, it has nothing to do with tapping out of a game or anything like that.
Well, like I did that other time, right?
I
said this time it wasn't about tapping out last time. It was.
With a good arm on the other side, by the way.
Yeah, true. Yep.
Yeah, just go out there and throw lefty. No problem. Yeah. Good to go. Hockey-wise, the Devils lost to the Kings out in L.A. 3-0. They've dropped three in a row. I mean, the one team that was going well, now all of a sudden they're hitting the skids.
Devil
Rangers have lost four in a row, 7 of 8, 15 of 19. Boomer, do you realize if I asked you whole season, how many overtime games have the Rangers played? You
know, I would say, I think they played, is it one?
One.
Yes.
Home opener, second game of the year. So 15 out of 19
and they
losses.
They lost that to the Seattle Kraken.
Yes, 6-5. So my point is, like, in the NHL, team, the Islanders have, like, 7 or 8 overtime losses. You bank the loser's point. Yeah. They can't even get a freaking loser's point out of any of these losses. That's how bad it's going. And now they begin the new year without their goaltender.
Maybe they'll be better. You know, I'll tell you what. Jonathan Quick was great last year when Igor was terrible in the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
That's true.
All right.
Yeah, you're right.
They kind of suck right now. And the Islanders, not much better. They lost to the Maple Leafs the other day. Did you see Patrick Waugh pulled his goalie with a defensive zone face? And John Tavares scored the empty netter.
That is like...
Desperate times.
It's not desperate times. It's like off the chart, like lunacy.
Yeah, a little bit.
Sorry. So
they lost that game, and now they'll complete that home-and-home tonight at UBS Arena.
Suck eggs.
Yeah. Eggs and other things, too. Let's get to moment of the day, shall we?
Yeah, okay.
On that note. Now, G, you circled back to it, so I'm glad I didn't pick it as the moment. You're Sal comparison with the Francesa. That was excellent. It was.
Right.
But this Boomer closed door meeting with Ryan Hurley during one of the breaks earlier this morning, I thought won out.
Just from the other side of the glass with no sound because it's soundproof, it looked like you had some business to take care of.
Yeah. Checklist of complaints.
Definitely.
Checklist of complaints.
There's very authoritative hand gestures going on.
So that's how you guys took that.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I got out of here immediately. I could feel the tension.
I told him how good I thought Willie Colon was.
In the beginning, though, you were talking about other stuff that was going on and, you know, the whole thing with the kickoff show. And I felt awkward with the two of you in here, so I started cleaning up the studio. I don't know if you noticed. I was just taking stuff out of the studio to throw away, stuff that had been here for probably 6 months that I hadn't thrown away, but in that moment, I was like, you know what? Let me grab something. Give me a reason to get out of here.
I did notice you.
Yeah.
Clean it up.
I was like, what is he doing?
Yeah, because I didn't want to just walk out because that would have been made it even more awkward, but I'm like, hey, if I look like I'm cleaning something out, it's not as weird for me to leave.
Making yourself look busy. I gotta take this to the garbage can.
Because when he walked in and we started talking, you started cleaning, we looked at each other like, what the F is he doing?
Yeah, I had to get out of here.
Meanwhile, the studio was kind of clean because TV came in here and cleaned out all the holiday stuff.
It was the box that Boomer tripped over.
You were grasping at straws.
That had been in here for legitimately 4 months.
Today was the day to get rid of that. Yeah,
yeah. Right. Yeah. So I grabbed it, threw it away, and got right out of here.
There you go.
Yeah.
Moment of the day.
Big Hurls walked out of here with a black eye.
And the architect, I waited to come in this segment because I didn't want to interrupt whatever conversation you were having with the architect.
Yeah, that's right. You knew
it's
what
not my
do.
Place to come in, you know, when the boss is in here talking to you guys. You guys are much more important, obviously. So,
all right.
You know.
Very good. There he is. Self-deprecating CeeLo.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to know that you're thinking of me sometimes, though. Appreciate that.
I do think about it.
Just post it on X. It's fine. Or read it there.
I'll tell you what, you've been more active on X lately than I have.
Yeah, I was a little pissed off, yeah.
Every time he gets on one of those, people are like, oh, Boomer's hitting that Casamigos.
Yeah, yeah. I wasn't.
I know.
That's the thing.
It's funny that any time you go on one of those now, people just assume you're drinking.
I did put a tweet out there. Oh, I got an idea for the HC of the NYJ. Why don't you bring the offensive coordinator in from the Rams?
Yeah.
They're a hard-running team.
Only a couple people got the subtleness of that.
Exactly.
I honestly wouldn't have realized that at first. The more I thought about it, though, I was like, oh, I see what he did there.
Yes.
Clever.
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 It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. It's a 2-day work week. How about that? We got a feel good football Friday tomorrow. We didn't make any, I didn't make any picks, and Jerry didn't make any picks, I don't think, or did he make picks? But we didn't make picks together last week. So
I made my picks on the kickoff show that three, well, I guess a quarter of it ran here on WFAN. Yeah.
How'd you do?
I did pretty well last week. I think I was 8-4 last week.
All right. All right. Very, very good.
I think.
All right. So we'll have our last week of the regular season picks. And it's always a tough one because you know, a lot of games don't mean much for a bunch of teams. You know?
Yeah.
A lot of them.
So how many games actually do mean something?
Let's go. I think there's like six. You know, you got Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and Cincinnati all involved in games that mean something.
Right.
You have the Lions and the Vikings in a game that means something. You have the Broncos and the Chiefs in a game that means something. You have the Chargers, seating issues for them.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the Falcons and you have the Bucks to see who wins the NFC South.
All right. So, yeah.
And by the way, Raheem Morris completely screwed up the end of regulation for their game.
About it,
yeah. I know. That would have, if the Falcons would have beaten the Commanders, that would have made the Commanders game this week against the Cowboys a huge game for the Commanders. Had they would have needed to win to get in.
Yeah, but that game now
is nothing,
meaningless.
Right.
Bears,
except for seeding.
Bears Packers meaningless.
Yep.
Texans Titans meaningless.
Yep.
Jaguars, Colts, obviously meaningless. Well, to the playoff picture we're talking about. I mean, there's the draft stuff,
the other end of the, you know, the meaning, I guess, of these games.
Yeah, it's going to be.
And there's some guys like, you know, Aaron Rodgers is still going for his 500th touchdown pass. there are incentives to be had.
Yeah, Baker, I know that.
I think Baker Mayfield made a nice package of incentives.
Good for him. Don't you feel good for him?
Yeah, I love the kid.
Feel good for that guy. All the guys out there, they're grinding. He's one of the ones you got to put right at the top. Got kicked out of that terrible situation there in Cleveland, made the best out of it.
So interesting. So you have two Saturday games. Cleveland at Baltimore is the first game, and then Cincinnati at Pittsburgh is the second game. And, you know, obviously, if Baltimore wins, they win the NFC North. So essentially, Pittsburgh would be playing for seeding. Cincinnati, if they win, they remain in the hunt, depending on what Denver does and Miami.
In the hunt.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Mike in Sparta. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Happy New Year.
Hey. So my sons and I sitting there on Sunday watching the Giant game, being forced to go through all these God bless them. They're staying with them. their fandom's still there. We're going through all these miserable scenarios, thinking about how the Eagles can clown us this week coming up, all this stuff we got to go through. The Colts play one of the worst games I've ever seen a team that has playoff consideration play in my life. Terrible tackling, just awful. But we're sitting there going through all this stuff. I don't know that it's going to matter who the coach, quarterback, or GM is next year, because I'm pretty sure it lines up that the Giants play the NFC North next year and the AFC West next year. Oof. And if the San Francisco is in last place, they will play the 49ers as well.
Yeah, listen, Mike, they could play the Pac-12 and still go 2-15. I mean, let's be honest.
So the point being, I think if Mike is right, and if you are trying to extrapolate the future here and think about like what the situation may be, you know, do you want to go through an exercise in which you're going to get rid of everybody next year?
Well, it's very... It's a similar situation. We'll see who they end up drafting. But it's a similar situation to what the Chicago Bears were faced with last year. And they couldn't even get through a full season with the head coach.
It all depends on whether or not they draft a quarterback or sign a stopgap quarterback. And I feel bad for those guys over there. But, you know, reality is that they are not going to be a good team next year. Now, there have been a number of teams that have gone from from last place to first place in their division. Every year it happens.
Yeah.
And I think Washington probably was on the precipice of doing that, or maybe the Eagles. I'm trying to think who did it this year. There was a team that has done it.
Was it a CBS Sports Network bailing on us early here? What was that?
I don't know.
They're leaving us early?
I guess they are.
Huh.
Where are they
9:55, where are they going?
Why don't you ask Stephen Waldron?
Hey, Stephen Waldron, CBS Sports. I don't even know if he's there today. Steven, you there?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, what happened?
We are going to the Rangers-Celtic game right now.
The who?
It's the Scottish Premier League football.
Oh, okay. Usually you give us a heads up on
Yeah,
that.
Heads up on that one.
We're off now.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, I know. Well, yeah, you do, but usually give us a heads up, meaning that...
Why is bad.
Why are you doing that 5 minutes to the hour?
Oh, you just hear that? Gave you my bad.
What did you just say?
My bad.
All right, let me just text Tyler. Hey, Tyler, guess what? Got a lot of my bad going on this morning.
Yeah. No, it's just jarring, Stephen, you know? I mean, and I don't let anything go that I see on the monitor. You know that by now. I'm thinking, hey, they're wrapping us up early. But what happened? Did we say something wrong? Did we do something wrong?
Send us an email or a text message last night.
I don't know. My bad.
Oh, he's just poking the bear now.
See, he thinks he's funny.
Yeah, I know. He actually knows he's funny at this one. He's like, man, I really got something here.
Yeah.
I got something here.
I think I'll be hearing my bad all through 2025.
Stephen, were you here during the last week and a half? Were you working the last week and a half?
This week, yes, not last week.
Oh, okay. All right. Very good. Well, it's good to hear your voice again and have you back. And next time we get kicked off the air early, it'd be nice if you give us like an email or something, because I really appreciate those emails being in the loop on things like this.
You got it. We'll be back tomorrow.
All right. Very good. The Celtic... I should pull him down now, please.
The people in the back laughing at him.
Yeah.
His staff.
Celtic Ranger game. All right.
Hopefully that Ranger team will win.
I was like, the Rangers? Like, what are we putting the Rangers on you?
I'm a glutton for punishment. I'll be right there tonight watching. So,
what's that called? Galazzo? Is that what CBS Sports has?
Yes.
With the soccer thing?
I think so, yes.
Golazzo?
Golazzo.
Yeah. Put a little Golazzo on. Remember when we tried to do that handoff to Masters on the Range and they completely ignored us? That was such a bummer.
Yes, we were trying to figure out the interaction that we were going to have, and it felt taped to me. It felt like the open was taped.
Well, the open, that's what happened. It was like a minute and a half montage of Masters of the past.
Okay.
And then it just was like, ugh. Just didn't end up working.
Maybe we get a little coordination this year.
Nah, we tried it once. But I was for whatever reason, I really wanted that to work. Hand it off to another TV show. I think it was Amanda Balionis or someone, Kelly Tillman or somebody.
Yeah, it's Kelly Tillman.
Yeah, yes. Hand it off to her. Thanks, Boomer and Geo. Welcome to Augusta.
Right, and by the way, your boy there, Scotty Scheffler, is dealing with a puncture wound onto his hand.
Yeah.
And he had surgery to have some glass removed.
I know, I saw that.
So I mean, like, you're a golfer. What are you doing?
What do you mean, what are you doing?
Stay away from the glass.
It was a broken glass. Happens to everybody.
It's never happened to me. All my life, I'm 63 years old.
Oh, you're fortunate. This happens to lots of people.
I'm smart.
Well, he's a smart guy. Seems this was an accident. You're slamming Scotty Scheffler for it. Want to throw him in jail again? With a broken glass?
No, I don't.
Okay.